Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for this weekend, we have the story of Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, if you ever want to know or see what the spiritual life looks like, just read this story. This story gives us a beautiful symbol of what the spiritual life is all about. Now notice how the story begins. It says, "At that time Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town." Jesus does not intend to stay in Jericho. All he wants to do is pass through it. Now remember the history of Jericho. Jericho basically is notorious for being Sin City. Jericho is the first city that the Israelites have to conquer in order to get to the Promised Land. There's that famous setting in which Joshua gathers all of the Israelite army, and they stand there waiting to conquer Jericho. And he blows the horn, and suddenly the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, and the Israelite army rushes in, and they conquer the city. The symbolism here is very clear. Jericho represents sin, and therefore, what we have to do is conquer our sin in order to continue to follow after Jesus Christ, who is passing through this city of Jericho. Only with Jesus Christ can we conquer our sin. Jesus Christ is the only one who can get us out of that quagmire of sin. And therefore, we must seize every opportunity, every advantage that we must have in order to rely upon Jesus to lead us out of our own sinfulness. More to it, just as Jesus is passing through, he's leading us also away from our own sinfulness. He's leading us away from our sin so that we can avoid it. How do we do that? Well, through the Eucharist, through the sacraments, through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, studying sacred scripture. These are all just a few ways in which Jesus leads us now away from sin. What must we do? We better take advantage of it. We better seize upon every opportunity that Jesus is giving us to lead us away from our own sin. The story continues. "Now a man there named Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man." Well, we learned last week, tax collectors were hated by the Israelites. Some of them were Jews in their own right, these tax collectors. And yet, these tax collectors were collaborators with the Romans. The vast majority of the taxes that they collected went to either Caesar or to the Roman army, the very people that were occupying and oppressing them. And so it's only natural for these tax collectors to be hated. Worse yet, these tax collectors were cheats. They skimmed off the top of the taxes that they collected in order to pay for their own salaries. Well, here in the story, Zacchaeus is identified as the chief tax collector, and therefore, he's a very vile person. He holds a very prominent position. He actually is in charge of all the tax collectors. Furthermore, it identifies Zacchaeus as a very wealthy man. Well, he has been cheating people for some time now, earning a living off the backs of honest and poor people that have paid their taxes. The story continues. It says, "Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature." Now, this is important. Zacchaeus is seeking to see Jesus. We are all made for God. Often I give you that quote, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us has an infinite longing for the divine, because we are all made in the image and likeness of God. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus Christ because now that infinite longing for the divine has awakened in Zacchaeus, and now he wants to see Jesus Christ. And yet, it appears, according to all worldly standards, Zacchaeus has it all. He should be happy. As chief tax collector, he's a very influential person in the city of Jericho, and so he wields a great deal of power. Furthermore, he's very wealthy. Consequently, by worldly standards, Zacchaeus should be happy and satisfied, but he's not. That's why he's eager to see Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are all wired for God. We all have that infinite longing for the divine in our life. St. Augustine best put it when he writes, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and therefore our hearts are restless until they rest in you, my Lord." What we have to understand, if Jesus Christ is at the very center of our heart, mind, and soul, then yes, our hearts are at rest. We find peace, joy, and fulfillment. When there is something other than Christ at the center of our life, that's when we have anxiety, depression, anger. That's when there's something wrong in our life. Well, the story continues. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. Now, picture this image in your head. Here, Zacchaeus is a very wealthy person, and therefore he's probably wearing very expensive clothes. He wields a great deal of influence in the city of Jericho, being the chief tax collector. Furthermore, because he is the chief tax collector, it probably took him a great deal of time to rise to that position, so we can only assume he's an elderly gentleman. And so picture this image of this elderly gentleman with very fine clothes climbing a tree in the middle of the city. Well, it's an image of embarrassment. It appears undignified for a person of this wealth and of this position that he holds. Yet despite his age, despite his wealth, he climbs this tree because he wants to see Jesus. Again, the symbolism is very clear. When we have that infinite desire for the divine in our life, when we have that hunger, we better be prepared to go to great extremes in order to satisfy that hunger for Christ in our life. Good analogy would be our own job. If we know that our job is threatened or is about to become threatened, maybe we face or fear the possibility of our job being laid off, we will go to extreme efforts to protect our job. Well, that's exactly what is going on right now. Zacchaeus recognizes his hunger for the divine in his life. He seeks out Jesus Christ, and now he goes to extremes to see Jesus, even to the point of embarrassment. Next, it says in the story, when he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." Now notice what Jesus says. He says, "Come down quickly." He doesn't just say, "Come down," or he doesn't say, "Now come down, but be careful, take your time, I don't want you to fall or get hurt." No, he says, "Come down quickly." Once again, the symbolism is very clear. Jesus tells Zacchaeus to come down quickly because when Jesus calls us into discipleship, we must go to him and go to him quickly. We have no time for second thoughts or to second guess Jesus. We have no time to dawdle. When Christ calls us into discipleship, we go and you act immediately. Remember that story in the gospel in which Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem and he begins to call all these people to come and follow him, and they give him excuse after excuse after excuse. Jesus says to the one man, "Come and follow me." And his response is, "Lord, just let me bury my father and then I'll come and follow you." Jesus' response, "Let the dead bury the dead. You come right now and you follow me." Another person makes an excuse and he says, "Lord, let me just go home and say farewell to my family." The hunger for the divine in Zacchaeus' life has been awakened inside of him. He goes and he seeks the Lord. And now when Christ calls him, he must act, and act quickly. When Christ calls each and every one of us, it demands an action, an immediate action. We can't put it off. We can't say to Jesus, "You know, Jesus, I want to start to pray every day, but, you know, this week is pretty bad, so I'll start next week." Or we say to the Lord, "You know, Lord, I want to join the St. Vincent de Paul Society. I want to do the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, but this month is pretty busy for me, so I'll start that next month." That will not suffice for Christ. When Jesus Christ calls us, we must act quickly. Or when we see the face of Christ, we must act upon that quickly. We see Christ in the Eucharist, in the sacraments, sacred scripture, corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Mother Teresa always saw the face of Jesus Christ in each and every person that she ministered to, in the worst, in the poorest areas in all of the world. And see, that's why she was able to do that type of difficult work for decades and decades, because she looked into the face of each poor person, the homeless, the hungry, and the dying, and she saw the face of Christ, and immediately she was compelled to act and help them. So must we. Now notice what Jesus says. He says, "For today I must stay at your house." The house symbolically means Zacchaeus' soul. Here Jesus wants to take up residence in Zacchaeus' heart, mind, and soul. When Christ is at the very center of our heart, mind, and soul, then we can boldly proclaim that Christ is the Lord of our life. And we don't even have to say anything. All we have to do is live a life in fidelity to the teachings of Christ and His church. Our conduct and our behavior will be enough to boldly proclaim that Christ is Lord of our life. See, Paul got that. Paul understood that. That's why if you read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 17, Paul writes, "It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me." Paul understood that if Christ is the center of our life, then our thoughts are the thoughts of Christ. Our actions are the actions of Christ. Our words are the words of Christ. The story continues. It says, "Zacchaeus came down quickly and received Jesus with joy." Well, immediately Zacchaeus acted, and he received Christ into him, and he was filled with joy. Joy is one of the hallmarks of the Holy Spirit. When Christ is the very center of our life, that's when our life has meaning, purpose, and joy. Next, it says, "Zacchaeus said to the Lord, 'Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over.'" Well, here Zacchaeus is making his confession to Jesus. Why? Because when Jesus enters into our life, the divine illuminating light of Jesus Christ fills our entire life such that we see everything now clearly. We even see our own sin. And see, that's what Zacchaeus has seen. He has seen now that he has cheated people for many years, and now he confesses his sin to Christ. We have to understand is when we let Christ into our life and he becomes the center of our life changes dramatically for the better. It's a basic biblical theme. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah, before God called him to become a prophet, Jeremiah was a soft-spoken, shy boy. And yet, after God called him to become a prophet, he became one of the greatest and the courageous prophets of the Old Testament. How about Moses? Before God called him, he was a shepherd in the middle of a desert. And yet, after hearing God's call, he becomes the leader of the Israelite nation. How about Peter? Before Christ, he was a simple fisherman. And yet after Christ called him into ministry, he became the leader of the apostles and the first pope of our church. How about Saul? Saul was a great persecutor of our church before Christ, And yet, after Jesus Christ called him, Paul became one of the greatest of all the apostles, evangelizing two continents. It's a basic biblical theme here. When Christ takes up residence in our life, we change, and we change for the better. That's what's happening right now with Zacchaeus. Notice what Jesus says at the very end. Today's salvation has come to this house. Again, symbolically, the house is Zacchaeus' soul. Christ has now taken up residence in Zacchaeus' soul, and because of that, Zacchaeus has now found salvation. See, this is why this story is a great picture, a great glimpse of the whole spiritual life. How did it start? In sin. Zacchaeus living in Sin City, lost in his own sinfulness, and yet awakens within him that divine desire, that divine hunger that we all have for God in our life. And that leads him to Jesus Christ. He welcomes Christ into his life, and now Zacchaeus is changed forever, and he's changed for the better. And see, that's why this is a great story for us all, for our own spiritual life. Strongly encourage you, take some time this week. You cannot afford not to. Take this gospel passage to prayer because it gives us a wonderful understanding of what the spiritual life is all about. May the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.